Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be in church. I'm back to church Sunday. We're going to go ahead and say goodbye to our citizen kids, if there's any left in here. Let's make a little bit of noise for them as they find their way out to their newly renovated, well, step one of renovated for the citizen kids' older room. The smell of fresh carpet is wafting through the church today. And so step one, many steps to come to renovate that. Whoa, lights just got a little bit dark. Can you still see each other? Yeah, I can see Eliana Olmo over here, and she's very distracting in her Pittsburgh Steelers outfit. Amazing. It's NFL kickoff Sunday, and that's a special day in the heart of the Lord and your pastor in this church. And so I know we're a melting pot from people all over the country, so thank you for when you come here. You root for the Redskins first, or at least second, after your hometown team. And also, I just want to say I'm really proud of John and Wendy. Wendy Caputo, Caputo's daughter is competing for Team USA in world competitions in Japan later this week for skimboarding. And so that's pretty awesome, Wendy. We're really proud of Sydney, and we're praying for to bring home the gold. I don't know if they get medals or trophies or cash prizes or just certificates, but wouldn't surprise me if it's certificates, but this, everybody gets one. All right, everybody got your Bible? Take your Bible out. Let's open together, if you will, join me in Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. Nehemiah, if you're maybe new to the Bible, don't know where Nehemiah is, it's just four books in front of Psalms, so if you split the Bible to the middle, find Psalms, and then go four books to your left, you're going to find the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 15. And while you're doing that, I also want to invite you, because you're a multitasking crowd, to take out your phone and open your Citizen Heights Church app if you have it. You can get Bible access on the app and also the notes for today's message. And as you find your way, I just want to mention, today we begin 21 days of prayer as a church. And we're pretty excited about that. Together, we take two months out of the year, September and January, because they're natural restarting points to seek God, trust Him to create lasting impact on our lives and our church and on the world. And Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." And so we want to be a praying church, and we want to give you some tools that'll help you pray. So on your app, you know, over 750 of you have already downloaded the app. That's good. 200 of you have already started accessing the prayer, 21 Days of Prayer guide that's available on your app. It's also available on the church website. Really easy to access. So 21 Days of Prayer. It's going to be, you pray on your own using the guide daily. We'll pray in unity, but then every Saturday for the next 21 days, we'll get together here on Saturday morning, and we'll give you some details on that. But put that on your calendar. It's an important thing, and it's a big Sunday, right? In fact, it's not just a big Sunday. We have a lineup of four big Sundays coming after this big Sunday. Of course, today's Welcome Back to Church Sunday, but September 26th, 22nd is Citizen Group Sunday. So can I just take a minute to get a few things on your calendars? September 22nd is Citizen Group Sunday. We have all kinds of new and upgraded ways to get you into your citizen group here in Fairfax, here in Tenleytown, there in Fairfax. We're one church in two locations, and so we're going to try something a little bit new for Citizen Group Sunday. It'll help you get in a group. Also, the Sunday after that, September 29th, we have Block Party Sunday. That's when we close down River Road. Calling it a block party is a little understated. It's an epic community event, and thousands of people come out for it, and we feed everybody, and there's games and all kinds of fun. So Fairfax, you can come over and join us after your experience on September 29th. And then October 6th is something we're calling One Big Sunday. Just calling it One Big Sunday, And it is what it sounds like, just a big Sunday to invite your friends to experience what God is doing and bring them into your world a little bit, bring them into the church. And but it all starts next Sunday with a new series that we're entitling TGIS, Thank God It's Sunday. And maybe you're old enough to remember back in the 90s, there was a lineup on Friday night's TGIF, and a lineup of like Mr. Belvedere, Perfect Strangers, like Full House, Family Matters, like all these great shows. We're going to take a journey through each of those fun shows and talk about how it's good to thank God for Sundays, because God's house, God's word, God's people, God's intention changes everything. So we're going to get back to that. So let's make September, what I'm saying is, let's make September our biggest month of planting seeds, sharing God's love, inviting people to be a part of what God is doing. So over the next 5 weeks, we'll count this week, over the next 5 weeks, we're gonna just do a Who You Bring In campaign. So bring someone to church. So I want you to ask people in church all the time, who you bringing? All right, matter of fact, ask your neighbor right now, who you bringing? All right, just say, ease up, I just heard about it. Like, I didn't know. It was kind of intense for you to come up on me like that. Who you bringing? You can ask people all over church, who are you bringing? And we got invite cards, a sample on the seat. Probably you saw the gray invite card that you can bring with you. We've got stations around the church that'll help stock you up. Because people are looking to restart in September, and many people are needing a restart in life. And you and I are going to be the avenue and the conduit and the blessing that it is to be able to throw somebody a lifeline and say, I know you got questions. We might not answer them all on the first day, but you got to come check out. God has changed my life, and I want you to see what it's all about. Join me. And just inviting people. So I wonder what would happen if over the next few weeks, over the next 5 weeks, each of us brought 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and God changed their lives forever. Come on, I'm telling you, it is something special, and we should expect that. So one big Sunday on October 6th, that's what it's all about, Fairfax. That's what it's all about, Tenleytown. It's about inviting people and getting them to come out, and we're going to go after it. And, you know, farmers plant seasonally, strategically, methodically, intentionally, with an expectancy that they're going to reap the same season they plant. You know that? Hello, is anybody here? The Bible says that God's word is like a seed and it won't return void. It will always sprout. So what if we planted over the next 5 weeks? What if we were seeking and knocking and inviting and DMing and texting and tweeting and posting and IMing and whatever else you do face-to-facing? Is that a thing anymore? Yes. And people come out and you watch God bring friends of yours, neighbors of yours, family of yours into his family. It's going to be an awesome thing. We have an expectation that God's going to do it. So, and if you've got that friend who always says they're going to come to church, but then they wake up and, you know, they missed the bus, or their car broke down, or they didn't have reliable transportation, we've got you covered from next week, September 15th, till October 6th. We're going to try something. If they can't get themselves to church, we're going to help them. And Uber is going to help us do that. So we're going to be posting a code this week. So for one of your friends that needs to get to church, they're going to get a $5 credit with a encrypted code that nobody can remember, but we will post on social media so you can see the code. And that'll get you to church Fairfax. It'll get you to church here. And that'll help you out, get to church. No excuses, right? It's the Get Yourself to Church campaign, sponsored by Citizen Heights and Uber. And over the next few weeks, we're going to watch God do an amazing thing. Sound good? All right. I haven't been here for a while. I feel like I got a lot to get caught up on. But I hope you know there's vision, there's strategy, and there's a lot of prayer going into September that God would begin to lift you out of the hangover of summer and get you ready to launch into this fall. I like what Heather said a minute ago. What do you believe in God for the rest of 2019? It's never too late to believe God for all he wanted to do in the first place. Did you know that? No expiration on this deal. So if you have Nehemiah 4, we're going to jump right in. today. The title of our discussion today is All of Us. Say All of Us. God's chosen people and God's given place. That's what we're talking about. All of us. God's chosen people and God's given place. And Nehemiah 4 helps us figure this out a little bit. And I'll give you some context and then we'll read verse 15. In Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah is on a mission. He's on a journey because Jerusalem, God's people have been gifted this place. And it's become like an epicenter of God's heart and God's movement within these people. And it's in ruins. And the temple walls are smashed and broken down, and it's become a place that's so wide open that it's no longer a place of defense and refuge. It's a place of looting and pillaging and danger. So Nehemiah is concerned about God's house, so he says it's time to do something to rebuild this city, rebuild the temple, and rebuild God's dream in this city for his people. So he goes to Jerusalem to begin rebuilding, and he's understaffed, and they've got a lot of work to do. And we find that it's not just that the work is laborious and the task is large. Heather and I have been to Jerusalem. We've seen the walls. Just the idea of doing this with manual labor alone is an amazing undertaking in and of itself. But that would be enough if it was just the physical toil and the manual labor and the task before them. But the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 4 that there is constant raids and attack and ambush on God's people as they attempt to build the city. They're under constant siege. And so we find them in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, just after the enemy had devised a plan, and it says that God defeated the enemy and put them back on track to build. And look what it says in verse 15. Nehemiah says, "Our enemies heard that we had found out what they were plotting. They realized that God had defeated their plans. Then all of us went back to rebuilding the wall." All of us went back to rebuilding the wall. Here's a message we need to hear in September. All of us went back to building. Do you hear me? All of us went back to building. This is an invitation to get back to building. This is no limitations on this invitation. All of us can get back to building. All of us. Say it with me. Say all of us. All of us say all of us. It sounds better when all of us say it, right? Because there's unity. Something happens when it's all of us. Something happens when some of us becomes all of us. Something happens when a few of us become all of us. All of us is a powerful concept because all of us is about unity and God's destiny and purpose. I want to talk to you today about all of us. And Nehemiah in this passage, he's doing something. The point that Nehemiah was after was not just to realign bricks and stone and mortar, right? It was more than just that. He was realigning and reassigning God's people to God's given place, right? That's what he was doing. He was creating space in a place where God's people could get back to God's given place for his people. You know, there's a lot of people in the city that are waiting for somebody who's going to make room and make a space to get back to what God had for their life. Maybe they've been on a five-year detour. Maybe they've never even gotten on track. But it's going to take somebody who says it's time to realign and reassign God's people to God's given place. And just like there was in Nehemiah's day there were some mental barriers. There was some spiritual alignment issues to get them back on track. We run into those same issues. And they had to overcome them. And guess what? You and I have to overcome them. And so I want to give you four barriers today that I think God is going to help us deal with. Are you ready for four barriers? He's aligning us. He's reassigning us. You, me, all of us. All of us together. God's chosen people and God's given place. And the first area of realignment is this. It's the mental barrier of I'm too busy. I'm too busy. You know what? That's a spiritual condition. And the spiritual condition is this. It's a distracted spirit. It's a distracted spirit. There's all this stuff going on in life, and I got to get to it to have it. But it's a distraction. Look at Luke 10, verse 40, the story of Martha and Mary, two sisters. One is sitting at the feet of Jesus. The other one is scurrying around, getting stuff ready. Now, Martha's doing a good thing, getting stuff ready. But Jesus says Mary is doing a better thing. Martha was distracted, it says, verse 40, by her many tasks. Ever get distracted? What's amazing to me is the Bible calls this a distraction. Martha has Jesus in her house. Martha is helping feed, helping host, helping do the Lord's work. But the Bible says, in this moment, even though that service in other moments could have been okay, in this moment it was a distraction because Jesus was there. It says she was distracted by her many tasks and she came up and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? That's a good sister, right? The rumbles under the bus. Have you noticed that I'm doing everything around here, Jesus? Well, she just, you know, don't you find it a little annoying, her sitting at your feet? Have you tripped on her a couple times? I know I have, trying to get her plate after I feed her. Lord, don't you care? Tell her to give me a hand. Verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. You're distracted. You're not just distracted in what you're doing. Now you've become distracted about what others aren't doing. And so you've missed an opportunity for a divine exchange in this moment. Because you just think you're busy, 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 too busy, too distracted. Martha, you're worried, you're upset. But one thing is necessary. Come on, what a great verse to remind you today. I know life is busy. I know it's chaotic. I know there's a lot of things and they all seem important. But there's only one thing that's necessary. There's just one thing. Mary's made the right choice. What she got can never be taken from her. Whatever is distracting you, there's only one thing that's necessary for you. Come on, we're not too busy for God. Right? Are you here? Let me say it this way. Your relationship with Jesus is not a distraction. It's your only hope and foundation. So it gets top billing all the time. It gets absolute priority in every scheduling face-off. Your relationship with God, hearing from God, experiencing the presence of God, hanging out and becoming part of the community of God. Nothing's more important. There's just one thing that's necessary, and this is it. This summer, I traveled for 3 weeks with Gavin as he played in some golf tournaments, and After a practice round, we were eating at this restaurant. It was a Sunday afternoon, right around 1 o'clock. And we're sitting in this restaurant, and there's three couples sitting at a table nearby. And I couldn't help but overhear them. Well, whenever somebody says that, you know right away, you could have helped it. I could have helped it, but I wanted to. I was like, Because they started talking about church. And I instantly went, uh-oh. This is the post-Sunday, post-service critique. This is the post-mortem. This is the Monday morning quarterbacking going on Sunday about church. And as they start, I heard the word church, and then I leaned in because I wanted to hear. And I thought, oh man, I hope this pastor was good today. I hope they're not going to take him to task. And you know what? I was amazed. I was so surprised. Because they began to talk about their church like they were engaged, they were connected, they were all in, they were excited, there was a zeal about it. They kept going on and on and on. And each one of them would pick up another thing and go, oh yeah, and another thing. Remember when he said this, and now we're going to do that? And I went, this is the kind of church I want to go to. That when you overhear them on Sunday afternoon talking about it, they're excited about their church because they're engaged. They're dialed in and they're connected. They're so supportive. You know, I want to go to that church because that's the kind of church that's changing a city. That's the kind of church that's impacting their neighbor. That's the kind of church. And I thought, that's it. To be that engaged. But we're too busy. We're too distracted. Don't be too busy for what God has for you. You know, I saw a survey that said in the last 20 years, the definition of, faithful church attendance, the phrase, faithful church attendance, in the last 20 years, it's gone from 3 times a week, and now it's at least 3 times in 1 month. The idea of faithful church attendance. I remember growing up, we were 3 times a week type of people. Maybe 4. You know? That's just what we were. I remember growing up, my mom would just, if the doors of the church are open, we're going. I don't know, it couldn't have been too bad. I'm still here. You know? Like, my sister is still here, loving God, serving God, in the ministry. Like, it must be okay to subject our children and ourselves to the blessing of a community that believes in them, prays for them when they go to worlds, lifts them up and cheers them on wherever they are in life, and not just our kids, but you and me, all of us, wherever we are. So I'm not talking about perfect attendance at church like some manufactured scorecard, okay? It's not some manufactured scorecard of your spiritual fidelity to Jesus. Like, oh, how's your attendance? You know, that's your scorecard of your fidelity. Do you love Jesus? But let me say this. But gathering on Sundays with God's people in God's house, hearing God's word, it's one of the primary ways we hear about Jesus' fidelity to us. And when you get that message again and again, because we need it, church teaches me, it reminds me that Jesus loves me, that Jesus forgives me, that Jesus has a plan for me, that he hasn't given up on me yet, that he's still moving and working in my life, and that he's got a purpose for me and wants to commission me to be about his business too. God is my one main thing. That's why Acts said, it's in him that we live and move and have our being. It's our one thing. It's our main thing. It's the necessary thing. We think we're too busy. We've got to make the grade or get the job done or get the job, period, or date the girl or find the guy. There's one necessary thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all those other things, Matthew 6 tells us, get added to your life in God's timing, in God's scale, because your scale is small compared to what he wants to do. Prioritize your soul. Mark 8 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses and forfeits his soul? Prioritize your soul, right? Prioritize your spirit. You're not too busy. You're not too distracted. You're focused. Jesus, he's the love of my life and the strength of my life. Number 2, the second hurdle we find, the mental hurdle, is this. I'm too offended. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Unforgiving spirit, right? We get a distracted spirit, but we also, sometimes we start moving with an unforgiving spirit. Ephesians 4 tells us, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's a high bar. How should I forgive one another? Just like Jesus forgave me. That's a high bar. How many times should I forgive you? As many times as Jesus is forgiving me. In the gospel, it says, if the same person offends you in the same way 7 times in the same day, but apologizes and repents, you forgive them. Wow, that's a high bar. But we have a high grace to be able to do this. I'm too offended. That'll keep you out. That'll take you out. That'll shipwreck you. Having just this thing, you see that person go, oh, I can't believe that pastor didn't say hi to me when they walked by. I bet you they don't even know my name. You know what? Maybe they don't. And maybe they did. But if you allow them to get between you and God, they're closer to God than you are. How about this? Just walk up to them and say, hey, it's been a while since we talked. I just want to remind you, my name is Jim. My name's not Jim. And I just want to touch base. You know how much people appreciate that? Like, you presume with grace, you didn't accuse with guilt. Like, I know you're guilty. I know you did this. I know you. No, we come with a gracious heart. Why? Because we're unoffendable. You know, some of you know Heather and I, and you've known us long enough to know that we've never had good grass. We've never had a good yard until about 2 or 3 years ago. We finally put sod down. I'm going to use the word invested very loosely here. We invested in sod to put in our front yard. It's a tiny yard, but we invested in sod. And I said, for the first time in my life, I have good grass. And I love that grass. And I take care of that grass. And we talk to each other. And I go out sometimes. I just walk at night. And Heather will tell you it's true. I just walk around to survey the grass. I know it's weird, but it's the first time that we've had good grass. And recently I discovered, I'm walking through the yard, and I step, and my foot sinks in. And then I step again, and it sinks in again, like what I imagine the surface of the moon feels like. It's very squishy. And I realize it's not random squishiness. It's a line. It's a tunnel. I have moles in my perfect grass. Now, I was furious, frustrated, upset, determined, and so I did everything that I could, and it started with smoke bombs and went to, like, these chemical smoke things that I thought would drive them away, and it just killed my grass. Yeah. And so my kids know, like, every day, they're like, Dad, did you get them? Did you get any of the moles? Did you get any of the moles? Because I'm setting traps. You can be part of PETA, but I'm not. And don't worry, I'm not going to eat them. Just going to, if there was a humane way to remove them, if you had a flute to play and they would follow you, come to my house. But until that exists, I want to see bodies. I want dead bodies produced. I want to know it's over. I want to know there's progress. I want to know the yard is on the mend. And so I set some traps, and every day the kids are like, Dad, do you get anything? No, no. And so I start researching moles. I'm researching moles. And I don't know if there's a pack of them. I don't know if they roll in packs. I don't know if there's 10 of them or 15 of them or 12 of them. And I read one article that said, this time of year, moles are solitary because they're greedy little eaters. And so they're territorial, so they'll be by themselves. I said, there's no way there's one. Because it's devastated everything. And this week I got them. Just going to say. God rest his non-eternal soul. And so I go out every day checking to see, are the tunnels popping up again? Are there more? Did he have a girlfriend? Did he have some buddies? Like, because I know one can't do this much damage. And you know what? They're gone. It was just one. What I'm trying to say is, I think I'm trying to say something. Honestly, I was just shocked and amazed at how much damage one creature could do just by maneuvering under the surface. This is what I wonder. What damage is being done by that one offense that's been maneuvering under the surface of your life, that's been allowed to stay there and remain and undermine the support and the foundation of good footing and good ground of what God wants to do in you. And every time you hit it, it hangs you up again. The damage that can be done by just one offense that you hang on to. And you say, Pastor, you don't know how bad and how deep it goes. I could never let it go. Through Christ Jesus, you can do all things who strengthens you. And the same God who forgives you and lets you go, you can release it and let it go. That's what forgiveness means. It's literally the Greek word picture for releasing and letting it go. Stop hanging on to it. Let it go. If your brother sins against you, Proverbs 10 says, go and tell him his fault between you. Excuse me, Matthew 18 says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Go ahead. Have the conversation if you need the conversation. There's only two ways to do it. You do it unilateral and you say, I'm releasing it, I'm letting it go. Or you do the face-to-face bilateral, I'm forgiving you. Personally, I like the unilateral. Let me tell you why. I don't have to look at their face and try to read it and then get offended by how they responded to me letting them go. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and be like, I just want you to know I'm forgiving you? You're like, forgiving me? Like, I gotta, let me get my list if we're doing this right now. Like, you've offended me. No, just let it go. If you get a face-to-face, great. If you don't, you can still let it go. Proverbs 10 says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. If you're not encountering the love of Jesus regularly, you'll never have enough love to cover these kinds of offenses. You're waiting for something to hit you and move you and to feel it. It's just the love of God that enables a conscious decision to decide it. You decide it. I'm forgiving. I'm letting go. I'm unoffendable. If we allow the love of God to create that culture of forgiveness, there's room for all of us. You'll make it. Number three, it's the I'm too clever mindset. This is the critical spirit. The problem spotters. God bless the problem spotters. God bless you, because I don't want to. Ever been around a problem spotter? Hey, I did the dishes. Yeah, I saw one that you left on the counter over there. Heather, why would you say that to me? I'm hypothetically hurt by this never happened hypothetical example that I'm using. No matter how good it's going, they always have an axe to grind or a problem to point out. The problem spotter, it's a critical spirit. There's a danger to that because that mindset says, I'm not sure I agree with this one thing or these two or three things, so I'm going to withdraw myself from everything. The problem spotters, you have a gift. But you got to be careful how you use that gift, because you'll use it as an excuse to disconnect and disengage from God's house. Maybe you don't like the carpet. Maybe you don't like the choice of song. But you can't use that as an opportunity to disconnect. Get over it, right? The NFL is kicking off today, as we discussed, and I heard a definition of football recently I thought was really good. Football has been described as 22 men on a field needing rest, being cheered or jeered by 22,000 people in the stands needing exercise. Thought that was good. You know, 22 men who need rest, getting cheered or jeered by 22,000 people who need exercise. That can be like church sometimes. That can be like church. It's like a few people doing it. And a lot of people, hopefully not jeering, but even if it is cheering, it's time for building. Building is different. It's not jeering with a critical spirit. It's not even cheering with a compassionate appreciation. It's building with participation, getting involved, right? Because let's face it, we all need a little exercise. We need some spiritual exercise. We need to find our place. We need to get involved. We need to have somebody who says, man, that's good. Thank you for that gift in you that just blessed me and got me through this situation. Like that perspective, that testimony, that counsel, that prayer, that phone call, that hug, whatever it was, never underestimate the contribution you make when you partner with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, this is good. You'll be surprised to find that although not perfect, the church is perfectly designed to form you into who you're supposed to be and get you to where you're supposed to be in God's plan. It's not perfect, but it is perfectly designed to do that. It'll knock off some edges. It'll challenge some ambitions, but it'll also, yeah, it'll do awesome stuff for your heart and for your life. All right, number four, I'm going to finish. The last mindset is I'm too broken. This is a wounded and discouraged spirit. Comes from tough seasons. And when I talk about tough seasons, I'm not talking about like your roommate borrowed your jeans or you know, so you went without lunch for a day. I'm talking about real tough scenes. I'm talking about shipwreck of your soul, because marriages go through stuff and sometimes they don't survive. And that's tough. And then you think you can't experience heartache any deeper, and then your children go through something. And then you realize that saying, you're never happier than your saddest child, is true. You know, you go through things, sickness or a negative diagnosis, financial ruin, mental health, whatever it is, you start going through some really, really tough times, tough seasons. Nehemiah and the builders in chapter 4 will end where we began. They had some tough times. like I said earlier, they were understaffed, overworked, constant danger, impossible task that they've been entrusted with. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, there's a verse that talks about one of the tribes. There's 12 tribes doing the work, but one of the tribes, the tribe of Judah, there's this obscure little verse just thrown in the middle of it, and I want to show it to you because this is that broken. This is that wounded spirit. Verse 10, it says, the people of Judah had a song they'd sing. This is their playlist why they work. Ready? We grow weak carrying burdens. There's so much rubble to take away. How can we build the wall today? What an awesome song of faith. I mean, this is their playlist. We grow weak carrying the burdens. There's so much rubble to take away. We can't build the wall today. You know what they're saying? What they're really saying is we can't build for the future because we're still trying to clean up the mess from the past. We can't build the wall today because we're still hauling rubble and debris away. Can I tell you that something? Dealing with your past is preparation for your future. It's okay to deal with your past. Dealing with your past is preparation for God's heart and God's future for your life. It's okay. This is how we deal with our past. All right? We clear the site. We remove the debris. We forgive and release people. We cast all our cares on Him. We pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's help. We clear the site because God has a place for you. And sometimes life tries to take you out. The enemy of your soul tries to take you out. He tries to silence you and sideline you. But all of us, this is how we get through. This is how we become an all of us church. We say the wounded and the broken are what, not just welcome here, they're treasured here. The wounded and the broken, you've got a spot here with us in a safe place. Just be careful, because isolation and inactivity is the enemy's tools to take you out. And this is the good news. If you're in that place, you don't have to live in activity. You don't have to put yourself in the penalty box for the mistakes you made. You don't have to live that life. Your life's destiny and fulfillment is by God's design in the hands, in one measure or another, of all of us. By God's design, me getting to where I'm supposed to be, you getting to where you're supposed to be, it's in the hands of the people on your right and left, sitting in front of you and behind you. To some degree, it's how God designed it. We're His family. We're not lonely pilgrims on individual journeys to glory. Do you hear me? We're a community. We're a family. It's all of us together on a rescue mission for this world. Loving one another and being loved by one another. Man, that's the type of place when you talk about it after church in the lunch, somebody will say, I want to go to that kind of church. Well, guess what? We gotta make sure that it's within our heart still and we're dealing with it in our own heart to say, man, I got to deal with that busy mindset. So distracted. I put that over this one thing, necessary thing. Jesus. I need Jesus. Not afraid to say it. I need Jesus. I've got a couple of degrees. I've gotten some good grades. I've had some influential posts and positions by the grace of God. But none of my worth and none of my stability and none of my potential is rooted in the reality of my human performance. It's all in the work of Jesus. I need Jesus. And we're a church that needs Jesus if we're going to be a church that says we've got room for everyone. Because there are more of us. I hope it's all of us to begin with, but there's more of us. There's coworkers. There's neighbors. There's people who walk by this church and people that would never have a clue that we even exist unless you and me begin to do what God's called us to do. I love church. I love all of us. I get so excited to have a front row seat to see what God is doing in people's lives. Somebody this week just came up to me and said, God is doing so much in my life. Somebody put in a prayer request for me and you guys prayed and this job changed and another job came and then I got promoted and then they started sharing the real good stuff. And then God began to get inside of me and start work on this attitude I had and He's changing it. And I said, yeah, that's how it's supposed to work from the inside out. religion comes from the outside and tries to conform you and stamp you out and obligate you, but the life of Christ is a life from the inside out. There's a grace. You just start changing. There's a grace. You just start wanting things you never thought you'd want. You get up on Sunday morning and go, yeah, it's all of us today. So I'm going to show up and get on the team. It's all of us today. So I'm going to come out for prayer on a Saturday morning. Come on, it's all of us today. So I'm going to do that growth track thing they have with three classes. I'm going to join a team. It's all of us today. So I'm going to take invites and be God's hands and God's feet and begin to reach people. Come on, it's all of us. When it's all of us, man, there's so much more. There's so much more. Do you believe it? Would you just close your eyes as we conclude today? I just want to pray for two kinds of people. With every eye closed, the first group I want to pray for is just you want to respond to this message. You say, I gotta step up and become part of this. These are one of these four attitudes and mindsets and barriers has hit you. These next five Sundays, including today, they're going to be big. We're going to take these next few weeks to show up and invite and pray and believe God and go for it. You're going to tell people God is real. He's changed your life. And you want to invite them just to come along and be a part of it, to check it out too. If you're one of those who said, yeah, I want to be one of those all of us, I hope everybody raised their hand on this, but every eye closed. Ready? Just hands up. Say, I want to be part of all of us. Thank you, Father. You see us. We're a church that wants to be all in. We're a church, God, that wants to be a part of what you're doing. Father, we're a church that wants to allow you the room you need to operate to challenge us in the deepest parts of our heart. Father, that we wouldn't have critical spirit or too busy, distracted spirit. We wouldn't be those who are wounded and broken in spirit. Wouldn't be those with that critical spirit. Father, we would just be those with that new spirit. A different kind of spirit, the Bible says. A spirit that says, here we are. We're your family. We're your sons. We're your daughters. We're your hands. We're your feet. All of us together. With every eye closed, I just want to pray for one other group of people here today. And the truth is, you need to receive God's love for you to heal you and to position you, to involve you. And that all starts by allowing Jesus to come into your life. And maybe you've done that in the past and you don't know where that commitment went. You haven't really lived it out recently. Or maybe you've never done this at all with every eye closed. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. By raising your hand, we're not going to trick you into standing up or try to get you to walk down forward. We're just going to pray with you right where, one general prayer over this entire room and over our Fairfax campus right now. One, don't wait. Today is your day. Two, you thought you were just coming to church, but it's the beginning of a transformation that only God can do. It's everything you've wanted and everything you hope for, but nothing you can manufacture on your own. It's Jesus, the necessary thing, the only thing that matters. One, two, three, hands in the air. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just hand up nice and high. Wave to me. Thank you. Fairfax campus, just raise your hand. Wherever you're listening online, just raise your hand. If that's for you, praise God. You can put your hands down. Church, let's pray with these right now. Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. So I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. And you have a plan for me, and you have a purpose for me. So I say, do what you want in my life. Have your way. Now say this boldly, I am a Christian. By grace I've been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate with those who just prayed that prayer?